Russian prince. The Brown household was moved to its depths when William's 19-year-old brother Robert received an invitation to the cricket week at Marley Manor. For Marley Manor was a stronghold of aristocracy, and its cricket week was a social event. When a day had passed without news of Robert, William's curiosity became more than he could endure, and he set off by a circuitous route to the manor. Cricket was in full swing, and William crept along in the ditch till he was just behind the bench where he could see Robert sitting watching the game. On two wicker chairs, some distance from the bench, sat Lady Markham, the chatelaine of Marley Manor. "My dear," Lady Markham was saying to a friend, "I simply don't know who half these people are who are staying in the house. One doesn't nowadays. My husband meets a man in a train, mind you, who's interested in old coins. My husband has a wonderful collection, you know, and promptly asks him over for the week. Oh, he's all right, of course, a charming man, and he's brought his secretary with him. He's writing a book on old coins, and the secretary's taking notes and making sketches of Gerald's collection." Sir Gerald Markham sat a short distance away next to a grey-bearded, benevolent-looking old man who was evidently the coin enthusiast. William moved on to where Robert sat rather forlornly at the end of the bench. Next to him was a youthful beauty of the peroxide blonde type and a tall youth with dark, curling hair. The two of them were evidently engrossed in each other, and Robert was as evidently attracted by the blonde beauty, who seemed unaware of his existence. William's heart burnt for Robert, thus neglected and ignored. He crept away. He went to his back garden, and opening the penny shocker that he'd begun in bed last night, lay down at full length on the lawn and went on with it. And the penny shocker gave him his plan. The blonde beauty, whose name was Clorinda Bellew, walked slowly down the field towards the wood. She was feeling bored. She heard a loud cough and turned with a start to meet the fixed stare of a small boy crouching behind a bush. "What are you doing here?" she said haughtily.
"I'm on guard," he said.
"On guard?" she repeated, impressed despite herself by the unflinching earnestness of the boy's gaze.
"Yes, there's a Russian prince playing cricket with those people, and I've been told by Scotland Yard to guard him."
"You? But why you?"
"Well, you see," said William, "they thought that no one would think it funny to see a boy hanging around watching a cricket match. I'm a good deal older than what I look, of course. I've been kept small by Scotland Yard so as to be able to take on jobs like this. Anyway, I'm supposed to be watching this Russian prince to see no harm comes to him."
Clorinda's blue eyes had grown wider. Such a situation as William described was nothing to the situations that she swallowed daily, without question, on the films or in novels. "Which one is it?" said Clorinda.
"It's that one, the one that's batting now."
They both gazed at the unconscious Robert.
"But I thought that he was someone who lived over in the next village."
William laughed. A short, grim laugh.
"Oh, yes, that's what he's supposed to be. He was rescued from the revolution when he was a boy and brought over here secret and given to this family to pretend he was their son so as to keep him in hiding. You see,"
William's voice sank to a sinister whisper,
"you see, the Bolshevists are after him. He got away with all his jewels, for one thing, and they're after his jewels."
He warmed to his subject as a fresh and thrilling idea occurred to him.
"You see that very dark man over there?"
And he pointed to the youth who had engrossed the maiden's whole attention to the exclusion of poor Robert the day before.
"Yes, it's Theo Horner."
"Well, he's a Bolshevist. He's after the jewels. That's why I'm told to guard this Russian prince against him."
"But what could you do?"
"Oh, I've got ways. I've got secret signals. I could have all Scotland Yard here in no time if I gave some of my secret signals."
His eyes met hers unflinchingly, and the last of her doubts disappeared. She gazed reflectively at Robert, who was running down the pitch after hitting the ball clear of the fielders.
"One might have known," she said dreamily. "He looks every inch an aristocrat."
"You won't tell anyone, will you?" said William. "You see, your life will be in danger too if anyone finds out you know."
Clorinda closed her eyes in silent bliss.
I'm not afraid. I've never known what it is to be afraid.
And most of all, you mustn't let him know you know.
The prince? No. Of course I won't.
Robert was surprised to be greeted by her with a dazzling smile when they came in for tea.
Do come for a little stroll with me, she said.
Oh, I'd love to, said Robert.
Oh, how courtly his manners were, how princely his bearing. She might have guessed.
Robert was slightly distrait, which, of course, added greatly to his air of mystery. As a matter of fact, Robert was thinking about the entertainment that the Cricket 11 was to give the rest of the house party at the weekend. One item was to be a skit on Hamlet, and Robert had been chosen to represent Hamlet. He'd been sworn to the utmost secrecy on the subject. It was a point of honour with the Marley Manor cricket team that no information about their programme should leak out before the actual performance. But Robert was feeling guilty. He had left the script of his part in the library that morning for over an hour. He had rushed back to retrieve it as soon as he'd discovered its loss, and had found it. But suppose someone had been in the interval and seen it? Perspiration broke out on his brow. Clorinda thrilled as she watched the obvious signs of his mental distress.
"Don't look so worried, Prince," she said.
The blood flamed into Robert's face. She knew that he was to be Hamlet. She'd been into the library and read his script. The others would never forgive him.
You know? He gasped. Yes, I know.
I say you haven't told anyone, have you?
No, not a soul,
she assured him with her ravishing smile.
I know all about it. You can rely on me, Prince. I shan't tell a soul. Have you got the jewels with you here?
It so happened that Hamlet's outfit included a large amount of jewellery that had been purchased for the occasion at Woolworth's.
Yes, answered Robert innocently. I've got them upstairs in my bedroom.
Clorinda drew a deep breath of ecstasy. It was all too marvellously film-like. She decided to tackle Theo. She found him on the terrace.
I wonder what you'd say if I told you that I knew your name wasn't really Theodore Horner.
The young man shifted his eyes from hers in unmistakable guilt. The name Theo, by which he was known, was short not for Theodore, but for Theodosius.
Don't tell anyone, will you? He pleaded.
No, she said. But remember, I know, that's all.
The next day, she and Robert were inseparable. William, of course, hovered near to keep an eye on the very satisfactory results of his handiwork. Once he ran into the benevolent-looking coin enthusiast. He assumed his mock-fatuously imbecile expression and said, "Please, sir, may I just look round the garden a bit?" And the coin enthusiast patted his head and replied benevolently, "Certainly, my boy, look round as much as you like." William treasured the permission as something to fall back upon in case of need. It was quite by chance that Clorinda ran into William in the shrubbery.
"Oh, there you are," she said. "I say, you never saw anything like the way that villain's glaring at him. I do wish he hadn't got the jewels with him."
"Why?" said William.
"Well, tonight is the dance we're giving to the village cricket team in the barn, and, well, I'm nervous. I think the Bolshie may take the opportunity either to steal the jewels or to do something to the prince. Will you be outside the library window tonight at 8:30?
"Yes," promised William. "I'll be there."
Promptly on his arrival at the library window, it was opened cautiously by Clorinda.
"You'd better come in now and hide behind the curtain. He's been glaring most horribly all through dinner. You slip in here. I'll come back as soon as I know when we're going down to the dance."
William took up his post. After a short interval, the door opened and two men entered. He peeped cautiously from his hiding place. It was the benevolent-looking coin enthusiast and the young man who was his secretary.
"Got the key," said the elder man.
"Yeah,"
said the secretary. Together they opened a safe in the wall, took out several trays of coins, and picking out one there and one there, put them into a small case. The collector then slipped the case into his pocket.
"I'll keep it on me. Safer."
"Let's clear off now,"
said the other as he closed the safe.
"Don't be a damn fool.
I'm going down to the barn with the others, and in half an hour you can come in and tell me I've had an important telephone message from town. Then we'll get off at once."
Right.
They went out. William had been too much occupied by fear of discovery to listen fully to this conversation. A few minutes later, Clorinda reappeared.
We're going down to the barn now. I think you ought to come too. I believe there's a loft.
William slipped through the kitchen garden to the barn and climbed the outside ladder. There he withdrew the trapdoor and gazed down at the long decorated room. The house party was assembling. Robert and Clorinda stood just beneath the trapdoor. Theo approached them. Ignoring Robert, he fixed his eyes on Clorinda.
May I have the second dance with you?
No, I'm afraid I'm engaged for all the dances this evening.
To this chap, sneered Theo.
That's no concern of yours, said Clorinda, turning away from him.
Theo, too, turned away, deliberately jostling Robert as he did so.
Look where you're going, can't you? Said Robert angrily.
Theo jostled him again. Robert hit out. Theo hit back. Clorinda screamed. All was tumult and confusion. The guests separated the two fighting men and held them apart. Clorinda stepped into the middle with flashing eyes.
It's time the truth were known, she said dramatically.
She turned imperiously to Robert.
Let me speak, Prince.
Robert blinked at her in bewilderment. She pointed an accusing finger at Theo.
That man's name is not Theodore Horner.
Oh, shut up, muttered Theo.
Do you deny that you're going under an assumed name?
No, I don't, but I don't see what business it is of yours.
Well, I'll show you what business it is of mine.
She pointed to Robert.
This man is a Russian prince.
Robert gaped at her.
No, I'm not, he said. Oh, I know I promised to keep it secret, but don't you see? They must know now that he's attempted your life.
Well, he hasn't attempted my life. He's only given me a sock in the jaw.
He's a Russian prince, went on Clorinda, again pointing to Robert. He escaped from the revolution as a child with his family jewels, and this man is a Bolshevist who has pursued him ruthlessly from his cradle.
Oh, that's a lie, said Theo.
Sir Gerald suddenly stepped forward.
What's your real name? He said to Theo.
Theo hung his head in shame.
Theodosius.
Horner?
Yes.
Sir Gerald turned to Robert.
And are you a Russian prince?
No,
replied Robert.
Why did you tell her you were?
I didn't.
Well, who did then?
It was at this moment that William, already leaning dangerously far out of his trapdoor, overbalanced and fell down upon the assembled company. He picked himself up. Robert's face became a frozen mask of horror.
He did, said Clorinda, pointing to William. He's a detective in constant communication with Scotland Yard, and he's been told to guard the prince.
Sir Gerald took firm hold of William's ear.
Who gave you permission to come here?
William remembered the permission that he'd treasured against this occasion.
He said I could, he answered, glancing round for the white-bearded man. He said I could come whenever I liked. I can't see him now, but he was in the library a minute ago, putting coins out of the safe into his pocket.
Almost immediately, the benevolent-looking gentleman leapt from behind the circle of guests to the open door. Sir Gerald made a grab at him, but he escaped, leaving his beard in Sir Gerald's hands. Theo pursued him, but received a blow in the eye that sent him running back to the others for safety. Robert joined the pursuit, outstripped the others, and managed at last to catch the thief and hold him till the others came up. It was later in the evening. The dance was in full swing. Robert, black-eyed and bandaged, was sitting out with Clorinda.
I can't tell you how sorry I am about the whole thing, he was saying. It's all that little devil's fault. I'd no idea.
Oh, no, said Clorinda. No, I'm glad that things have turned out as they have.
She gazed dreamily in front of her. It was quite film-like, after all.
You see, it showed me how brave you are. Robert, you may not be a prince, but you're my prince.
Oh, angel, responded Robert, satisfactorily.